and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study now has taken us to the dispensation of conscience. We're studying through 9 dispensations. Some people believe that there are 7 dispensations. Some believe there are 8. Some don't even believe there is such a thing as a dispensation. Well, I personally believe there are 9 dispensations. A dispensation is how God deals with man and man deals with God. It's God and man. We're placed here as men, women, boys, and girls, human beings, to take care of what God has given us, and that is His economy. That's taking care of what He owns. He owns everything, and sometimes we forget that. But especially us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to constantly remind ourselves that we're here to serve God. Well, we looked at the definition of conscience the last time, and as we think of conscience, I made this comment the last time that man's conscience should never be his guide. We've often heard someone say, let your conscience be your guide, but man should never do that. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You see, conscience tells us that we ought to do right, but it does not tell us what is right. To do what is right, we are taught by God's Word. God's Word is to be our guide. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." We're to listen to God through His Word. He's given us His Word, and that's what we need to follow. We should not follow our conscience, but we should follow what God says, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, what is the cause of conscience? The dispensation of conscience was brought about by doubting God's Word. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And then in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" We see that doubting God's Word, adding to God's Word, then diluting it, and finally rejecting God's Word is the result of listening to the devil himself instead of listening to God. Now, this is the common sequence of apostasy today. Today, people of God are actually accepting books that contain fairy tales that have been disguised as the Word of God. Some say this, "I don't know enough about the Bible to tell someone what is the true Bible." Again, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie, as I've said before, and Christians make excuses. Christians need to quit making excuses and start reading the Word of God, the King James Bible. Some Christians say they do not know what the Word of God is. Well, if that is an excuse for using a perversion, then my question is this: how did they get saved? How did that person get saved? Or are they saved? Now, that's not up to me. That's up to God. He's the judge. And the Bible, the true Word of God, says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And you see, I say this about the perversions masquerading as the Word of God, that they are heresies, causing people to doubt the very existence of God. Now, a heretic is a person who teaches contrary to true biblical doctrine. Heresy is untrue biblical doctrine that is contrary to what God says is true in His Word. Well, notice this, if you would, that the dispensation of conscience was brought about by changing God's word. Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. It says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Man, down through history, has tried to be God. Man has, through pride and arrogance, wants to be God. Well, the devil tried that, and he got thrown out of heaven. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things," and I believe this is not only talking about the book of Revelation, I believe it's speaking of the entire word of God. It says, "If any man shall add unto these things," what things? The things in the word of God. What God says to us in his word. It says, "God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." God help those individuals who are changing God's word into a lie. We see all sorts of these things coming around. There's so many new perversions, and they call them versions, but they're perversions of the word of God. God help those individuals who are producing these ungodly heresies that you find in so-called Bible bookstores today and on the internet. Well, the dispensation of conscience was brought about by pride. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now notice this, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, Adam was a man that God had chosen to take care of his economy on this earth. He placed him in the garden. He gave him responsibility there, but man, God, when God saw what had taken place there, he warns us through his word about pride. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The man was puffed up. He thought, at least the woman thought, and the man evidently wanted to be as God because he did eat of the tree as well. "And wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned." Adam got us into this mess, but I remind you again that his sin, we don't have to account for, but it's our sin that we need to look at and say, "Oh God, forgive me for being the sinful person that I am." When a person gets to that point, they're ready to be saved. They can trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he will forgive them of sin, from all sin. He will cleanse that individual from all sin and make it possible for anyone who does that and ask forgiveness of God and be willing to turn to him and trust him, changing their mind about how to go to heaven, that it's only through Jesus Christ. When that happens, that old pride, it's gone, because there's nothing a person can do on his own to go to heaven. But these people, as we look back in the Garden of Eden, the devil told Eve, said, "You'll be as God." And this, she got puffed up, and I believe Adam, that came to Adam as well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Adam was the king of the hill. Well, I believe he was lifted up with pride. And this is why mankind was plunged into sin. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 16. And we see someone else who was lifted up with pride. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Let me add this. Let me say that Satan is not in heaven right now. Some people believe he will not be cast out of heaven until we read of it, and they take it out of context, looking in into the book of Revelation. I remind you, Revelation is not written in chronological order. But some take it out of context, saying, oh, well, Satan's going to be cast out one day and cast to the earth. He's already been cast out. God would not put up with that. He would not allow Satan to be in his heaven. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is Isaiah 14:12. And we're going to read down through verse 16. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Satan is not in heaven. Satan has been cast out. The Bible teaches us that he's the prince of the power of the air. He's around us. Now, Satan cannot be every place at one time, but he has his imps. He has his little devils, if you would, running around trying to cause people trouble and trying to send as many people to hell as they can. Well, God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you will call upon him today, you'll be saved. You'll go to heaven. Don't let pride stand in your way. Be willing to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not good enough to go to heaven on your own. It must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice this. After we've read about the fall of man and how that Lucifer was cast out of heaven, the dispensation of conscience was brought about by willful disobedience. We see that pride is a downfall of many a person today. But we see that also that a person is willful disobedience to God. He said, don't eat of that tree, but man ate of it. Therefore, the Bible says once again that sin entered into the world. Well, what is the result of conscience? The result of conscience is, as we look back to the Garden of Eden, eyes are opened as a result of conscience. Genesis 3 and verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened. That's speaking of Adam and Eve. And a result of conscience, Adam and Eve knew they were naked. Verse 7 of Genesis 3 says, and they knew that they were naked. And we see a result of conscience was that Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, and the eyes in them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see, instead of the Tower of Babel being the first instance of man-made religion, the act of Adam and Eve sewing fig leaves together would actually be the first instance of man-made religion, trying to get to heaven on their own by covering themselves with something made that they made. But God says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through him. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep reading in the book of Genesis, and we see how that God provided coats, skins of clothing for these two people, for Adam and Eve. And that means blood had to be shed from those animals that shed their blood by God. God made a covering for these two people, Adam and Eve. It was a representation of Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. The Bible teaches us that when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our sin is not only covered, it's gone, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what took place back in the Garden of Eden when God slew those animals and provided coats of skin, coverings for Adam and Eve.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.